All right, the time is getting close here at the Seattle. All right, the time is getting close.
The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Oh, yeah. Hello, guests. Welcome. It is Thursday, December 6, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, and it's definitely 420 right here in Seattle, Washington, where marijuana is legal in this entire state for everyone age 21 years of age and older. So we are so excited to be here. Woke up this morning, had my first legal wake and bake. Wow, a first legal wake and bake. It was a glorious feeling, even as cold and windy and blustery as it was today. So glad you could join us. And for those of you last night who were able to join us on the live feed for legalization night, we had ourselves a really good time. Had a little difficulty breaking into the main feed, so we created a secondary feed for the live event. And I think for the future, I may keep doing it that way. I think I may just go ahead and do a separate feed like that so that the regular shows can continue to run in their entirety. So keep posted on that. Our next major event coming up is the LA Medical Cannabis Cup in February. We were just invited to present there and stream live by the High Times crew, so we will be there at the studios, the Century Studios there in Los Angeles. Our own Big Daddy Fink, Timmy Harris, he's got the poster for that, so that's you can find that in the latest High Times magazine as well. And in March, we are trying to work out getting to Atlanta, Georgia for a major event that they're having there. So stay tuned for information on that as well. Thanks to all the new viewers, all the new listeners out there, people that we met here in Seattle. It was a really good time. If you've been perusing the internets and checking out all of the news about last night, our countdown, I got a major photo in the AP of me counting down from 10 seconds to legalization. So really excited about that. Hoping more exposure brings us more friends, fans, and followers here to the Russ Belville Show, where you're the voice of the marijuana nation. Coming up on today's show, we are going to bring you our Across the Pond segment at half past the hour. Greg DeHote is waiting in the wings. He's on the Skype right now. Just been chatting to him. So we will talk to him coming up here in just a little bit. At 45 past, I'm going to take some time to show you some of the highlights from last night's first legal toke in Seattle for 89 years. You know, marijuana was made illegal in 1937, but it was made illegal in Washington State before that. So this will be the first legal toke for a lot of people. Looking forward to that. Also on today's show, we're going to get to the headlines. Got all sorts of headline news. Of course, the big headline, legalization taking place here in Washington State. We've got a response from the DA in Denver, how he wants to avoid a smoke-in. College campus rules for Colorado, Arizona's medical marijuana law upheld, and the first dispensary in New Jersey is open. Plus, we'll go behind
headlines.
We'll be
right back after these messages from our 420-friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show.
Sorry about that. We'll also go behind the headlines and take a look at the history of weed in America.
the Russ Belville Show. Thanks for joining us.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
I paid my dues. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show.
Yeah, we've made a call on the controversial marijuana ballot question, Amendment 64. Floyd, we can safely say this is going to pass.
It is legal in the Constitution to possess and grow up to 6 plants.
You cannot be arrested for being in possession of an ounce of marijuana.
Colorado and the state of Washington, they voted to legalize marijuana, not for medical use, but for recreational use.
This is the beginning of taking apart prohibition one state at a time. That's how they did it 80 years ago against alcohol. That's how we're going to do it now against marijuana.
Now it's time for our 420 headline news. I'm Russ Belville with the news. Washington's legalization of marijuana far more complicated than it might seem. This reporting coming from the Washington Post. People openly lit joints under the Space Needle and on Seattle sidewalks, then blew the smoke at TV news cameras. To those looking to get baked, the city's police department suggested pizza and a Lord of the Rings marathon. What exactly is going on in Washington State? Marijuana possession became legal under state law Thursday, the day a measure approved by voters to regulate marijuana like alcohol took effect. It prompted midnight celebrations from pot activists who say the war on drugs has failed. The measures approved on November 6th have two main facets. First, they okay the possession of up to an ounce of marijuana by adults over 21. That took effect Thursday in Washington, though it remains illegal for now to buy and sell pot. So people have to keep getting it from the marijuana ferry. In Colorado, where pot fans will be able to grow their own plants, the law takes effect January 5th. In other news from Colorado, marijuana smoking celebration at the Space Needle, the type of event the Denver District Attorney hopes to avoid. This from westword.com. At midnight, Initiative 502, Washington State's equivalent of Amendment 64, went into effect, and a huge throng gathered at the Space Needle to celebrate the occasion with public toking. It's precisely the sort of event the Denver District Attorney is trying to prevent by warning the public that public consumption remains against the law. The midnight December 6th enactment time is actually in the language of I-502, but there's no such equivalent in Amendment 64. That may explain why Governor John Hickenlooper is being cagey about when he'll actually sign Amendment 64. Presumably, he'd rather avoid scenes like those in Seattle. More news from Colorado, this from the Cannon City Daily Record.com. Marijuana will still be against the rules on Colorado college campuses. In about a month, a measure legalizing marijuana use and possession for adults will go into effect, but one place it won't have much grip is on college campuses. When it comes to pot, there will be no high in higher education in Colorado. In order not to lose federal funds, said University of Colorado at Boulder spokeswoman Melinda Hiller-Huey, we need to comply with federal law. That means at Colorado University, like at pretty much every other campus, big and small across the state, marijuana use will not be allowed. People of all ages smoking pot on campus, and those under 21 found possessing it, will still be issued criminal tickets. Use and possession of marijuana in the dorms won't be sanctioned, even for those 21 or older who will be allowed to possess marijuana elsewhere. And on at least several campuses, including Colorado universities, students over 21 or adult faculty and staff members found possessing marijuana could still face school disciplinary proceedings. About the only change the new law will have on Colorado University's enforcement against marijuana will be that police officers will no longer issue tickets to those 21 or older found with pot. Moving on to the West, in Arizona, from the Wall Street Journal, medical marijuana law has been upheld in Arizona. Arizona's medical marijuana law is constitutional and federal drug laws don't stand in the way of public officials implementing the state law, a judge ruled Tuesday. Judge Michael Gordon of Maricopa County Superior Court wrote, "This court will not rule that Arizona, having sided with the ever-growing minority of states and having limited it to medical use, has violated public policy." The case started over a dispute whether Maricopa County had to approve zoning for a dispensary in Sun City. It grew to include the larger legal question of whether federal drug laws preempt Arizona's medical marijuana law. And finally, from NJ.com, NewJersey.com, the first New Jersey medical marijuana dispensary is open for business. New Jersey's first medical marijuana dispensary opened this morning. Greenleaf Compassion Center, at the heart of Montclair's commercial district, admitted its first patient at 10 a.m. All initial visits to Greenleaf will be done by appointment only, board member and co-founder Joe Stevens said. About 20 registered patients from across the state were scheduled to meet with dispensary staff to discuss their medical history and decide which of the dispensary's three strains of marijuana would work best. Patients will be limited to purchasing a half ounce of pot at their initial consultation in order to ensure the limited supply reaches all patients, Stevens said. Eventually, six dispensaries or alternative treatment centers will serve registered patients, but Greenleaf is the first to complete the application and permitting process and secure approvals from local officials. The first patient emerged from Greenleaf's blacked-out dispensary doors at 10:20 a.m. He asked reporters to leave him alone as he walked up Bloomfield Avenue. Ed, a 52-year-old man who uses a cane, described the experience as very professional. That's our 420 headline news for today, Thursday, December 6, 2012. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we're going to go behind the headlines and take a look at the history of marijuana in America from founding to legalization. It's the Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Legalize.
Just over joint. I've been cannabis activist for 40 years.
We are turning the corner on a failed policy that's been disastrous for our communities, and things are going to get better.
80 years ago, we repealed alcohol prohibition in this state. We did it prior to the federal government, and we're doing the same thing when it comes to marijuana. We are a step ahead, and we will continue to lead the way.
It means I'm going to smoke a lot of weed tonight!
Some call it marijuana.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Bellville Show.
Thanks, Dan Michaels. Time for us to go behind the headlines, and we're taking a look at the history of marijuana in the United States of America, dating all the way back to our founding, when, of course, we were founded as a bunch of hemp farmers, as a matter of fact. So let's go back and take a look at this, how we've gotten to where we are today. And a lot of this... The Associated Press has put together some of these facts as well. Of course, cannabis in the colonies was mostly known as industrial hemp. George Washington and Thomas Jefferson both grew hemp and tried to figure out the best ways to process it for the benefit of the colonists. It had been ordered to be grown in America as soon as the British arrived. In 1619, the British Crown ordered the colonists at Jamestown to grow hemp to satisfy England's demand for maritime rope. Hemp became more important to the colonies as New England's own shipping industry developed, and homespun hemp helped clothe American soldiers during the Revolutionary War. And Jefferson, as the hemp farmer, actually went on to invent a device for processing hemp in 1815. The more psychoactive version of hemp was mostly known back in those days as hashish. Books such as The Arabian Nights and The Count of Monte Cristo talk about hashish highs in the exotic Orient and sparked a cannabis fad amongst intellectuals in the mid-19th century. After the Civil War, with hospitals often over-prescribing opiates for pain, many soldiers returned home hooked on harder drugs. Those became a public health concern, leading Congress to pass the Pure Food and Drug Act in 1905 to begin regulating opiates and other medicines, including cannabis. As we went through the turn of the 20th century and we began to see the beginnings of jazz and swing happening in America, cannabis smoking was little known to most people in the United States. But in 1890, the first English language newspaper opened in Mexico, and through the wire service, tales of marijuana-induced violence that were common in Mexican papers began to appear north of the border. So 1890, you start to look at the very first incidences of reefer madness in this country. By 1910, the Boston Daily Globe, the New York Sun, and others were decrying the evils of ganja smoking. Pot smoking spread through the 1920s, became popular with jazz musicians like Louis Armstrong, who was arrested in 1930 and given a six-month suspended sentence for pot possession. In the 1950s, Louis Armstrong actually urged legalization of marijuana in a letter that he wrote to President Dwight Eisenhower. We then get to the 1930s and 40s, where we find two sides of the prohibition coin, reefer madness on one side and hemp for victory on the other. After alcohol prohibition was removed in 1933, Harry Anslinger, who headed up the Federal Bureau of Narcotics, turned his attention to pot and told all sorts of sensational tales about how marijuana smoking will make you a murderer and it makes the white women want to have sex with Negroes and so forth. This was all captured in the film Reefer Madness, one of the propaganda films that was rediscovered in the 1970s and has since become a favorite of marijuana aficionados. Congress officially banned marijuana with the Marijuana Tax Act of 1937. Anslinger continued his crusade against jazz musicians in the 40s and 50s. The Department of Agriculture, in the meantime, during the 1940s, as we were engaged in World War II, promoted a different message, the hemp for victory message, as the Japanese cut off our supplies of industrial hemp from the Philippines. As we get to the 1950s, the beatniks emerge. Marijuana becomes a sign of the counterculture. The Beat Generation poets were known for it. Jack Kerouac wrote about it in his famous novels. Robert Mitchum, the actor, was arrested in late 1948 and branded him a dope fiend, cost him severely during his career. Anslinger started the gateway theory in the 1950s as heroin became a scare in America, saying that marijuana would lead to heroin abuse. We then entered the Vietnam era, the counterculture of the 60s, where marijuana was seen as not just a recreational intoxicant, but also a symbol of rejection of authority, rejection of the Vietnam War, and all that went along with it. As we get to the 1980s, Just Say No and the Ronald Reagan era and the extreme drug war disparities that we have and the extreme drug war mandatory minimums begin. In the 90s, we get the opening salvo in the medical marijuana, the fight for medical marijuana use in 1992 around San Francisco. By 96, California had legalized medical marijuana. Soon, 18 states would follow suit, leading to today, where we have Washington and Colorado have voted for legal marijuana recreational purposes for the first time at any level, federally speaking, since 1937. For the first time here in Washington state, for about 89 years, that is. So that is your basic thumbnail history of marijuana prohibition in America. All right, we're going to take a break, see if we can get the camera fixed here. And when we come back, we'll have more here on The Russ Belville Show, legal right here in Seattle, Washington. Stay tuned.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? Have you ever met that funny reefer man, reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, folks, time for the Daily Toker Tunes of the day. And, well, you know, it's Groovin' Thursday, and that's the day we get into the funk, the soul, the disco. And I couldn't think of a song any more appropriate for the first song of legalization here from Seattle, Washington, than to turn to the funk master himself, Rick James, and that ode to what we all love so much. We're so glad to see that Mary Jane is finally legal. Take it away, Rick.
Do it, baby.
Comes as no surprise, turns me on with her love.
right, Mary Jane, Rick James. It doesn't get any better than that. If you like this kind of funky music, you got to check out Big Daddy's Famous Funky Roller Rink every Thursday night, including this Thursday night, taking place 8 o'clock Pacific time. It's a new jazzy funky roller rink, and kind of weird that this comes up. It's got a little Dave Brubeck in it, and of course Dave Brubeck passed away yesterday. I think he was 91 or 92. Very, very famous, famous, famous jazz musician. Take Five, Lou Rondo a la Turk, some jazz classics, and he will be missed. So we'll have Jazzy Roller Rink coming up tonight at 8 o'clock Pacific time. Coming up at 5 o'clock Pacific time, a replay of yesterday's Red Eyes Reggae Flashback. And if he's got a new one uploaded, I'll get that ready for you as well. Rick James, Mary Jane, it's legal here in Washington State. Thanks for joining us. Thanks all you new listeners and new viewers. Tell your friends, we're here every weekday, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time. When we come back, we're going to go across the pond. We're talking with Greg DeHoat, a.k.a. Cannabis Cure UK, and what's happening with legalization in England.
And now, another episode of Cannabis Shakespearean Theatre. I'm your host, Leonard Pinfgarnell III. Tonight we revel in the hilarity of acquiring cannabis when miscommunication occurs between the cannabis delivery service and the consumer. The Royal Shakespearean Cannabis Theatre Company presents the classic David's Not Present piece, made famous by Richard Merrin and Thomas Chong. Enjoy.
Hark. Who goes there?
It is I, David. Pray grant me immediate passage, good sir. I come bearing a package of great import.
Hark! Who goes there?
It is I, David, as I previously informed you. Make haste in unlatching this portal, for I believe the constable hath cast his visage upon me. I bring you the package you seek.
'Tis David?
Affirmative, my good man. 'Tis David. Now open this door forthwith.
David's not present.
For Cannabis Shakespearean Theatre, I'm Leonard Pinfgarnell III.
Michael Phelps, Olympic superstar, 14 gold medals, world record holder. Motivational syndrome. Begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Time for the activist agenda. And for today, we're going across the pond as we do on the... got to get that stopped. I'm not running a Liebermeter today, so things are a little more difficult. Bear with me. But today, we're going across the pond as we do usually on the first and third Tuesdays. But today, being Legalization Day, we postponed and had Greg DeHoat show up today from Normal, UK. Can you hear me okay, Greg?
Yeah, I can hear you. Russ, how you doing?
Doing
fine. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you loud and clear, sounding good from all the way there in England. I want to thank you so much for staying up till 11:30 p.m. your time to be with us.
That's no problem. We love it.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. So I suppose everyone there is getting the news of Washington's Space Needle legalization celebration last night. How are the papers reacting out there?
Papers? Nah, not over here. The people, though, are loving it. The cannabis community is reveling in it. They really think things are starting to change. I don't know if they're being too over-optimistic and, you know, they need to realise that they need to get behind it and do the work so they can get to that level. But change is definitely coming and the tides are turning. And this Breaking the Taboo film that came out, is coming out tomorrow, was premiered last night in London. And Richard Branson, that was getting some coverage today. So Richard Branson was you know, calling on David Cameron, the Prime Minister, to decriminalise all drugs.
That's fantastic. You know, there's a few different stories that I wanted to ask you about that are happening out there in the UK, and one of them, and it kind of came up as a almost an afterthought in another story that I had read, but it had to do with the former Home Secretary Jackie Smith now admitting that she shouldn't have upgraded cannabis to Class B. Do you have more details on that for our audience?
Isn't it always funny how these former MPs come out and turn around and say, oh, do you know what? I shouldn't have done that. Or, right, drugs should be decriminalised. But, yeah, she said she made the wrong decision. She'd never even met with David Nutt when she decided to fire him. And it was all to do with, like, deals between the media and politics. It's so corrupt over here, with like, between that. And we've just had a massive inquiry into the media and their corruption. All these, you know, names have been dragged through the mud, and it's been pretty messy. And the outcome of it is that the government are asking the press to self-regulate now, and they can't. They were self-regulated before, and they couldn't do it. So, what good is that? I mean, when you've got corruption between politicians and the media, and then the politician turn around and say, "Well, let the media deal with it. Let the media regulate themselves." What hope is there?
Yeah, right. Now, is there any plans to reschedule cannabis back to Class C?
I don't think that's going to happen too soon, unless something big happens. There has to be a certain processes that go through. It wouldn't just happen overnight. It would need to be brought up in the into Parliament, in the Commons, and then into it, like the House of Commons, and then in the House of Lords. And I guess the Queen would have to sign it over. I'm not actually entirely sure what the process would be, and I don't think anyone really is, because it's not it's weird, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
But I've heard other things, that they're going to be trying to do a local referendum in a certain area of the UK, but I can't really say where that is at the moment. But they're going to try and lower the law enforcement priority of it, like through a local referendum, a vote, which is quite interesting. And I think they're going to try and use this Breaking the Taboo film to try and help them do that as well.
Yeah, and this Breaking the Taboo, you can get information on this at breakingthetaboo.info. Or .com, I think, will redirect you there as well. Now, are they making that whole film available on YouTube, or is it just the trailer?
I believe tomorrow the whole film will be available. It's
All right, we seem to have some problems with our Skype connection with Greg. We're having difficulty. We're not.
By Sam Branson, Richard Branson's son, he's got some pretty good numbers. The Daily Mail over here, I've already, I think they were the first one to sort of run a story on it, and it was a negative one, of course, and they picked out that Kate Winslet was in the trailer, and actually in the film, and they called her irresponsible, supporting cannabis. Obviously, a joint attached to a bullet at the end is where they got that connotation from, I think.
Right. Now, you had mentioned to me in an email earlier about some of the activist work that's going on there in the UK, and with you and your chaps there with Normal UK, making some headway with some of the government yet?
We've got a kind of political stunt that we want to put in. We spoke about it before, the Bedrocan stunt, where like Dutch patients can come over to the UK and like medicate freely, but if a UK patient was to do the same, it would be illegal, even if they'd got prescription in Holland and then come back to the UK with it. Our government wouldn't accept that as medicine, but they would accept the Dutch person's cannabis as medicine. So there's that kind of like hypocrisy there. So we want to highlight that by bringing Dutch patients over to smoke alongside us outside a location in London. We've now actually got a good handful of patients that are quite involved in the movement and really want to get behind this to you know, have a bit of activism and see it all explode over this side of the pond, because it there is a lot of momentum that's built up over the last 12 months. The UK CSE, United Kingdom Cannabis Social Club movement, has doctors now. I'm really, really pleased. I'm really impressed with all the guys that have got behind it, got involved, and, you know, really put themselves out there. It's putting their heads above the water really makes a difference, and it inspires a lot of other people. So that, you know, that's going to be continuing forward. And we're going to be getting local meetings going all over the country. Every month there'll be something for someone to go to. And again, that's just going to keep snowballing and being bigger. We're getting a lot of support from the companies, like the businesses, the seed companies in the UK now. Obviously, that's a legal industry over here. It makes quite a lot of money, and obviously that's helping feed sort of like the people growing it. So that's, you know, we are starting to get a good interconnected network over here that we've kind of seen. Well, we have seen over in the illegal states already.
Right. Now, Greg, you know, when we passed marijuana legalization in Washington, Colorado, and right after that, MPP's Rob Campia came out with what he called his blueprint on how to pass legalization. And one of the pieces of it was a concerted campaign effort, a concerted educational effort to tell people, to let them understand that marijuana is safer than alcohol. Is that something you guys might look at? Is that something that would go over in the United Kingdom? And from what I understand, drinking there is kind of seen as a big social problem.
Well, yeah, they actually spend, I think it's £19 billion. I think it's £19 billion a year, like cleaning up after alcohol, which is an absolute monster of a sum, because it only costs £18 billion to enforce prohibition over here. So it actually costs more to clean up after alcohol and police, just like cleaning up the community, the NHS, long-term health problems, and domestic abuse, call outs at police and courts and prison and all that, and therapy, of course. All that costs £19 billion a pound a year to enforce. David Nutt actually said to the government in the Home Affairs Select Committee, who are reviewing drugs, which are like a board of members of parliament who sit there and like look at the evidence and review it, and just come out of a report basically to advise the government, that who will probably just ignore it. But he said that 20% of people who drink alcohol will migrate to using cannabis because they know it's safer. So I think that's like quite a significant. I think it's a quite significant figure, and I think it's quite a good thing that he said it, where he said it, and when he said it, because it was getting quite a, you know, good bit of coverage at the time. And he's a significant figure. He was sacked. He was the advisory council on the misuse of drugs. Chairman who was sacked by Jackie Smith, the former Home Secretary, who just said that she shouldn't have decriminalised, reclassified cannabis, which she sacked him for saying that it was he sacked her for saying that she shouldn't.
Exactly. And it'd be nice to see an apology come back from her to Professor Nutt, but I don't see it coming.
No, I don't quite think so. There was a radio show about it the other day on BBC Live 5, and I was actually meant to be like one of the responses afterwards, but they told us that the show wasn't airing, and then all of a sudden it did. Mm. So we must have got dropped for that one. I don't know if they Googled or Facebooked me and saw who I was and thought, I can't have that hippie on here.
Right.
But she was spouting her usual crap about skunk, and how it's dangerous and 20 times stronger than last year and all this crap. And it just puts a whole, it makes it look like a joke. It really does. I think people are starting to realize that they are full of crap, because they're coming out with the same things, and people are starting to become more aware about the medicinal side of cannabis. It is getting more coverage, and people are starting to tell the truth.
Yeah.
These politicians are starting to make themselves look like idiots, and people are realizing that.
Speaking of awareness of the medicinal side here, the story that's come across the pond that is lighting up our morning shows, of course, is the pregnancy, the royal fetus that is now gestating. Of course, the other part of that story is how she has been hospitalized for hyperemesis gravidarum, which is, you know, severe morning sickness, severe vomiting. And we all know what a great anti-emetic cannabis is. So does anybody in the UK even broach that subject, that maybe that would help her?
Oh, well, you know what? I think it wasn't her blood relative, but there was a certain queen that I think used cannabis as well, wasn't there?
Yes,
was it,
yes.
For menstrual cramps. Queen Victoria, that was it. So, yeah, we've already had one royal that used cannabis. It's more than likely that another royal has been, you know, used it medically if they're, you know, treated with the best medicine, and it used to be an authorised and, you know, fine to use medicine. But GW Pharmaceuticals in England actually have a patent on using cannabis as an antiemetic for nausea and for vomiting and for, you know, specific types of, you know, caused nausea. I don't think morning sickness was on there, but it does state other related illnesses. So, yeah, we have a patent in the UK to use cannabis for nausea, and well, it seems like even the royals aren't getting that treatment yet.
Yeah. One last story here that popped up on my radar. The British Reefer Madness, you know how much I love it. I love to get it pure and from the source. And this,
you love it.
This story of the tube pervert radio millionaire Stefan Glenzer blaming his rubbing the bums of ladies on the tube on his cannabis use. Any comments on that?
Oh, you're joking. You're joking.
Did you see this one? It was in. It was in the London Evening Standard, and BBC News also covered it. This is the guy who was with Last.fm. He's a multimillionaire, and he got busted. Cops actually saw him. You know, they call it. It's called frotterism, I think. When you get on a crowded subway and you try to rub up against the backsides of people. And he was caught doing it. And in court, in Crown Court or Magistrates Court, he said that he was a long-term cannabis user and had been on a drugs binge at the time of the assault. And, of course, will seek rehab and has to sign the sex offender registry. So, yeah, there you go.
Well, I'm glad that he's signing the sex offenders registry. He sounds like an absolute idiot. and for people who try and blame their foul-like behavior on cannabis, just, you know, they don't deserve to be sort of like treated with much respect, to be honest. I have this conversation with people quite a lot. People like give cannabis a bad name because they blame it on cannabis because it's easy to, because people accept that a lot easier than accepting that their behavior isn't actually very good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Greg DeHoat with Normal UK, thanks so much for being here on Across the Pond. We appreciate you staying up late to be with us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Cool. Appreciate if you haven't. Well, that dab has truly kicked in, so appreciate you for having me on.
All right.
I'll speak to you again soon. Say hi to everyone there for me. Peace out, guys. Thanks for listening.
When we come back, it's time for the Radical Rant. We're going to show you some video of last night's moment of legalization.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
Actually, I haven't had a chance to talk to Mr. Osborne before the show, but we had a great discussion about it. I just asked one of the folks in the show, Bob Backer, said, well, what is Louis Armstrong going to do? Oh, he says, oh, he's going way up.
Way up.
Is that the highest you could get?
Well, I don't know.
Well, why don't you let me say thank you? I'm only sorry you weren't going to be here with us longer. I wish you could have gotten higher, but why don't you go up and say hello to the folks?
Well, I'll get higher next time I'm over here.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, folks, going to turn over to some video here from last night at Seattle Center at the base of the Space Needle, where we all gathered to celebrate the first legal toke in Washington State in over 89 years. Washington State made it illegal before the federal government ever did, and we were there to celebrate. Check it out. Radical Russ here, and we are waiting for the 420 train from Portland to Seattle. We're headed north for the first legal toke in America since 1937. At midnight tonight, marijuana becomes legal in Washington State. We'll be at the Seattle Center with a bunch of people, we hope, celebrating legality in America. So stick around. Hey everybody, Radical Russ here. We're on the 420 train. It's 420. We're headed to Seattle for legalization. It takes place at midnight. How much fun is that? All right, the time is getting close here at the Seattle Center. We are getting ready for the first legal toke in America since 1937. And the diehards are here. Say hi, diehards.
Hi.
How long you guys been here anyway?
About an hour and a half.
Hour and a half?
We got here at like 9:30.
Is there supposed to be more people? Or?
I'm hoping so. News, yeah. So.
I want to see a lot of pops.
Oh, that's some nice stuff. What you got there? Ooh, that's pretty. Let's take a look at that. Oh!
Bought brand new today for this occasion.
I got go-to.
Ah, for legalization. Very nice.
Yes. Very much.
It's our fantastic. Legalization
Guys,
type.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
I'm trying to get my nose warm.
All right. More celebration.
Wow, celebrate.
We're ready to celebrate.
Here. Somebody wants to know where it's at and what's happening.
It's right here.
It's right here. This is where it's happening.
Good day, tokers and tokettes. Radical Russ here at the base of the Space Needle here in frigid Seattle, Washington. My God, it's cold tonight, but it is December 5th, and it is 15 minutes away from marijuana being legal here in this state. And we've got a crowd of people that have gathered around, and say a couple dozen, maybe three dozen folks, some cameras. A few of the news stations are here getting film of people that have already decided to break the law for the last 15 minutes. But things are ticking down here. I'm going to make sure that we are in official atomic time so that we have the, you know, we're not messing around here. We got the real action. We don't want to break the law, of course, right? Anyway, 15 minutes from legal marijuana here in Seattle, Washington.
T minus 15 minutes and counting. We're streaming live here with the Russ Belville Show, going out to people all over the internet, so let them hear you! Legal weed in Seattle! If anybody would like to come over and share their experience, then the last 15 minutes of being a criminal, come talk to me. If not, just have a good time.
Hey everybody, Radical Russ here. It's 11 o'clock. We are 1 hour away from legal marijuana in the United States of America, right here in Washington. We're at the base of the Space Needle here at Seattle Center. Like I said, 11 o'clock. We're an hour away, just waiting for people to show up for the first legal toke in America since 1937. It's gonna be a good one. Our last opportunity to break the law. The carb on this.
Right in the nose, my friend.
Nose carb, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's the nose of the skull.
It's even got a gold tooth. It's pretty cool.
That's a good smoke.
Oh, yeah. That was a good smoke.
7 minutes to legal marijuana.
Woo! What does that mean for patients?
Legal marijuana. Arrest?
No arrest. Oh, I got you! Soon!
Can you talk with us or not?
I can, sure.
Okay, where are you from?
I'm from Portland, Oregon.
Oh, very nice.
Yes. And took the train up here, and the train literally left at 4:20. I'm not making it up.
Did you take that one?
Yeah, we took the 4:20 train up here, yes.
All right, what's your full name?
My name is Russ Belville, RussBellville, and I'm from Portland, Oregon, and I'm the host of the Russ Belville Show.
Got
all
it.
The
news right there. All the way from Portland.
All the way from Portland.
Here with all the Seattle and Washington
hosts. Absolutely.
Why?
Because this is a historic event, of course, where we're finally recognizing the liberty that we deserve, and that is to be left alone in our personal choices using a recreational intoxicant that's far safer than alcohol.
In Portland tonight, what's the talk there as they watch here what's going on in Washington?
It's very interesting. The state's largest newspaper, The Oregonian, has called on our legislature to legalize marijuana because they're afraid, with so much of our population living so close to the Washington border, that all of that money, tourism, jobs are all going to flow right across the Columbia. So they're looking at doing this legislatively.
So what's your purpose in being here tonight?
I'm the host of the Russ Belville Show. We do a live weekday talk radio show on medical marijuana, industrial hemp, and recreational cannabis issues, the various state laws, news, interviews, and so forth. So this is my job.
And as far as watching it from Oregon, out here and what's going on in Washington, what do you think about the process that it started? Obviously, tonight police aren't out here giving citations. They're giving verbal warnings. So there's still things that are in the process, and the fact that they're waiting to...
You know, Seattle in particular has done a great job with this, you know, with the I-75 and having lowest priority for marijuana for the longest time. The Seattle City Attorney Pete Holmes has long time now said he's not going to prosecute minor marijuana possession. So in a sense, in this area, it's felt legal for a while. This just codifies what the people of Washington really want in their policies.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a safe travel.
You too.
Buenos noches. Mi nombre es Radical Russ. Bienvenidos a Seattle Center. Las tres amigas.
Hola.
Hola, Russ.
Hola.
All right, so here we are hanging out in the cold at the base of Seattle Center. Why are you three ladies here?
To witness history.
History? Yeah. What's happening?
The legalization of recreational marijuana.
Yes. Have you all been waiting for this for a long time?
We're from out of town. We just happen to be here, so we want to see it happen. Why not come down here, see what's going on?
Right. Where are you from?
California.
California?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, California's almost damn near legal there anyway.
Well, right? You know, this is the first recreational use.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, legalization of recreational
use. You guys have California recs? Recommendations?
I do.
Yes. You do?
Okay. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting because it'll be legal here in Washington, but nowhere to buy it.
Right. The opposite of California.
Yeah, California. There's plenty of places to buy it. Ain't quite legal. That's cool.
Well, it'll work itself out eventually, I'm sure.
Are you here through the weekend then?
Unfortunately not.
Yeah.
Not this time.
All right. Well, anything you'd like to say to the international audience of cannabis lovers all throughout the globe tonight on this historic night?
Come support Washington tourism and visit the Seattle Space Needle and maybe participate in some recreational use of marijuana.
Absolutely, and we look forward to the legalization of it everywhere.
All right. Las tres amigas.
Adios.
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 According to the U.S. atomic clock, we are 1 minute away from legal marijuana in Washington State. All right, all my friends out there in the chat room, thank you so much for being a part of this show. I wouldn't be here in Seattle for this history-making event if it wasn't for you and all of the donations and all the sponsorships and all the support and telling all your friends, thank you so much. This is a dream come true. I can't believe this is my job, and it's the best job. 30 seconds! 30 seconds! All right, folks. Are we ready for legalization out there? I think we're ready for legalization. We are just about ready. All right, 15 seconds to go. Can you feel the legalization in the air? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3,
Good time. You can hear, I don't know if you can hear, Smoke Two Joints is the sound, the first song to be played in legal Seattle. There are no police here whatsoever. People are openly smoking on the news. I can see the Como News people over there. Let me see, I'll get you a live shot out that way. You can see the Como News people in the background filming some guys smoking. I'm trying to smoke, but I keep losing my lighter.
A little marijuana now and then.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Still a good girl, though. I get back to you.
To film you now.
Oh!
This is the lovely lady who came and interviewed me from what,
Como 4 in
Como
Seattle.
Como 4 News. And so you're on the Russ Belbel show. Thank you for interviewing. Thank you for treating this like a, you know.
Great to meet you. Thanks for being in Seattle.
A real issue. Thank you very much.
Up next here, we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111, and the phone lines are open. We hope you'll join us here, and we're going to have all sorts of good talk here. Got some more videos from legalization night last night to catch up on, so we'll take a look at those. We'll also catch some of the other stories in the news that aren't legalization in Washington State. I'm telling you, it feels really good to be sitting here and not be a criminal. It's really good to know that this does not earn me a jail cell, a ticket, a fingerprinting, a mugshot, probable cause. There's still a lot of work to do, a lot of discrimination to end, and many more states to legalize. We need to get home grow. We need to get buying and selling. We will get there, but the first step...
This is the Russ Belbel Show. The Russ Belbel Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seat, you manage, you're going, you're trying, you're rolling, you're smoking. You take a seat, you manage, you're going.